This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
It took one win away from Banner 17 to get David Stern back with us. We've been waiting for years and years and years to have him back, and it took this long.
Say that to all the commissioners.
You know what? That's probably true. I do. Hey, you know, everyone's been asking me, hey, do you know what you're going to say? Does anybody ask you the same thing? Do you have an idea what you're going to say if on the night a team has a chance to clinch?
I have an idea. I've got to make two presentations, both to the champion and to the MVP. And the champion, it's always a thank you of some kind to the vanquished. And a congratulations to the champion, as short as possible. They call me quick, you know, Speedy Dave. Okay, yeah, because no one wants to hear me or remembers what I say. And then I turn it over to the ownership, the general manager, the president, the coach, the players, and everybody else in the city of Boston.
All right, let's get into the news of the week. Only in that, this is what I want to ask. Everyone heard your answers Tuesday and before the game here on Thursday about what happened early in the week with Tim Donaghy. My question is this. Forgetting the media and the frenzy it now is and the cauldron it now is, what is the responsibility, all of our responsibilities, to our true constituency, the fans, regarding allegations that are made, regarding the situation as far as an investigation or talking to them directly without using the media?
Well, it's difficult because the media does put a certain spin on it. What most media and therefore fans don't understand is that what the letter was a series of allegations that he made to the FBI over a year ago. Okay, that's what the letter says. And a year later, by proffering that, what he wants to tell the, get somebody to believe, and including the media, is that there was, you know, everybody, all the referees in the NBA except him were crooked. And so we had the media riot. So what I tell everyone is that every single allegation that the FBI had there, as he tried to implicate as many of his colleagues as he possibly could, was presumably investigated by the FBI, because they never gave us, and they couldn't give us, the precision. You know, they said, we can't tell you until the investigation's over. But we produced every referee, every employee, and the like. And so in the fullness of time, those investigation goes on. You know, to think that our investigator has interviewed all of our referees, but you know, I don't think we don't have the subpoena power and the law enforcement power that the FBI has, but we, you know, but and here we are. And so the fact that he now says a year later, this is what I proffered to the FBI, there's nothing new in there for the FBI at all. But it makes it seem that whatever an admitted felon says somehow has a credibility to it, and then somehow affects our credibility. So what I said on Thursday night was, okay, we'll, you know, to protect the referees, of course we're not going to leave any stone unturned, but it seems to have been turned on its head that the person who started this a year ago and then copped a quick plea is busy trying to implicate his colleagues. And so there's been something of a riot about this, but in the end, when it turns out that what we said last July, and again here, that there's only one criminal here, and then everyone's going to say, oh, okay, I guess that's so. If there isn't, then, you know, shame on us. But we, you know, we've turned over everything we've got, and we believe the fact to be that Tim Donaghy is a criminal, and he's trying to do whatever he and his lawyer can do to harm our other referees. There's more to come about this whole drama as it plays out, but I think that's basically what I feel comfortable saying now.
Is there ever, with the magnitude of something like this, is there ever a moment to find humor or whimsy in the control and power over time and space that people think you have?
Well, you know, I think it's fun. I mean, it's a good job. It's a living. But the reality is, I mean, I'm thinking about it. The funny part is that you know, the Donaghy wants everyone to think that you listen to me, believe me, because all of the other guys are crooked. I'm not. Okay, Tim. And that's basically what many in the media have taken and run with. And that's why I had the second press conference, just really for our referees, who are pretty good people who don't deserve that kind of slander and libel.
Tonight, the Boston Celtics have a chance, obviously, to win the championship. Is the bigger object lesson here? It's not the Celtics and Lakers. That's been great. It's been a great story, traditional team, a chance to win the championship. Is the bigger message here, and maybe the best thing, the message to the other 29 teams and the other cities, as to just with the velocity with which you can jump back to this stage?
I think that's very much iconic with respect to the Celtics, that a good trade can turn it around in a very competitive league. We had some other teams give it a shot midseason. The Suns, the Mavericks, the Cavaliers, the Bulls. But as they say, there can only be one. Or as we say, I guess. But clearly the Lakers show that if you make the right trade, have the assets really young to make those trades, including young players and draft picks, you can turn yourself around pretty quickly in this league.
It's
not the first time.
No.
You know, there's this young man, what was his name at the time, was Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You know, you get a franchise player, you can turn a franchise around in this league.
This is an extraordinary time this summer coming up with the Olympics. It is also an unprecedented time. I was trying to pick one unique thing that maybe people haven't asked you about or people haven't heard you talk about a lot. It's an unprecedented time of players speaking about the things that are going on in the world. We are at war. There is Darfur. There is refugees in Chad. And we have players who are speaking out. Do you encourage it? Do you not encourage it? What goes through your brain when you have so many players who want to be so involved?
What goes through my brain is we should neither encourage nor discourage, but we should recognize that that's a right that they have, and we should not do anything to cause them to not want to speak however they feel about whatever issue. The only encouragement is to become educated and understand the various sides to every issue. Other than that, you know, that's the beauty of being an American.
What lessons do you want cities and markets to take from what we are seeing transpire in Seattle and what we know is going to happen?
There's no lesson there. I mean, other than the fact that, you know, it's been a great city. It may well be a city for two more years at the close of the trial that starts tomorrow. Howard Schultz, when he owned the team, went down to the legislature and said, help us. Went to the city, said, help us. Clay Bennett did the same thing. And basically what the speaker in Seattle said was, well, the league should get its own house in order. It's paying the players too much, et cetera. And this is a state where the sales tax has been used for both the football stadium and the baseball stadium, but they said no to basketball. And so that said, the team proposed to move, and the Board of Governors approved it.
Ending the way we began talking about, I spent a lot of time, Max and I to some degree, about the media and the way things are now versus the way they used to be. And it's always easy to pine about the way it used to be, but I think it was interesting, the cauldron this week, in a week we lost both Tim Russert and Jim McKay, two guys who sort of represented the ideal of what you want it to be, a combination of humanity and journalism.
Well, I guess I would say that, you know, we understand the pressures that the media operates under. They're up against deadline. They're up against their own pressures of what they have to do, what they have to say, what they have to get out fast. You know, it is what it is. It's just, it's not a problem for us. That's just the way, as the internet gets game stories out in real time, I think there's, you know, a tendency, which is appropriate, to focus more on issues surrounding the game, etc. Occasionally, you know, often they get it right. Occasionally they get it wrong. I think this week sort of is a combination of the two.
Happy Father's Day.
Hey, happy Father's Day to everybody.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.